In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Next to the prodigal son, the Good Samaritan is probably Jesus' most famous parable. I'm sure that you've heard the story many times and heard many sermons about it. And I can tell you that I've preached many sermons on the Good Samaritan. Is there anything new to say about the Good Samaritan? Actually, it's not the job of the church or preachers to make up new interpretations of the ageless scriptures. Often our personal and cultural biases and assumptions slip in that way. Novelty is not our goal. Our goal usually is to recover the original meaning. So, in preparation for today's sermon, I went back and reread one of Martin Luther's sermons on the Good Samaritan, and I'll quote from it freely. Luther interpreted the parable as an allegory, with the stories, characters, and actions representing real-life people and ideas. That was a popular way to interpret the Bible at one time. Sometimes they were valid interpretations, and sometimes they were not. One person might say that a person or a symbol represents one thing or something else, and then somebody says, no, that's not it at all. It represents this person or this idea. Who is to say who is right or wrong? Luther was quite reserved in his allegorical method, and his ideas do fit the good news as it was proclaimed by Jesus. What Luther said is on target. Moreover, there is a simple moral lesson to be learned from the Good Samaritan. But it also speaks, not surprisingly, to justification by faith and the atonement that Jesus Christ makes for us. The context of Jesus telling the parable is a question asked by a lawyer. Not much is said about the lawyer other than that he wanted to test Jesus and justify himself. That reveals everything we need to know about him. It's likely that the lawyer was considered to be a very pious and holy person by the people because of his position. But in fact, he was self-righteous, legalistic, and much too impressed with himself. Luke tells us that the question he asked Jesus isn't an earnest question. He doesn't want to be taught by Jesus. He wants to show off how much he knows. And I'm sure that you had people like that in your classes in school, people who just had to be the center of attention, and people who would ask the teacher a question to show off how much they knew. The lawyer asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus plays along with his game and asks him what the law says. And the lawyer answers, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus affirms that this is the right answer. God first loves us, and we respond with love for him. Those who love God receive his grace and salvation gladly, and their joy spills over into good deeds done for their neighbors. The matter could have been left right there, but the lawyer just had to push the issue by asking another question. Who is my neighbor? He was looking for a loophole that would allow him to not love others fully and completely. Up to this point, Jesus had been quite tolerant of the lawyer, but now Jesus will use the lawyer's own words, as Luther said, to shame him and show him what a fool he is. We may not think of Christ as a stern teacher, but Martin Luther said that Christ is an unfriendly, ungracious man. He tells the people the truth that well deserves that they should hear it. Luther had a bit of a gift for hyperbole and knowing how to get our attention, doesn't he? It's true, though. Jesus told the truth, even though it was not what the people wanted to hear. He didn't sugarcoat things. Upsetting people by telling the truth is what got him hated and crucified. So, who is the wounded man in the parable, as Luther explains it? The wounded man is Adam, who brought sin, injury, and death into the world by his sin. True, the wounded man was attacked by robbers, but the crime that they committed was a symptom of the evil that Adam unleashed in the world. As I often say, sometimes we suffer because of our own bad decisions and actions. Sometimes we suffer because of the sins of others committed against us. And sometimes we suffer for reasons only known to God. Whatever brought the wounded man to his sorry state, it was obvious that he could not help himself. Since the wounded man is Adam, the wounded man is us also, you and me. We are marred and scarred by sin. No one is righteous. As we say each Sunday, we deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment. Do you really believe that? Anyone who thinks that he or she is not a sinner rejects Christ because Christ came to save sinners. Anyone who thinks that they are less of a sinner than anyone else has missed the point of the gospel. Like the wounded man, we cannot help ourselves. Luther says, and I quote, "The conclusion is that we are all sinners, especially those who walk in the beautiful outward show. Therefore, it is safer that we go and confess we are all sinners than that we have respect to our works and cling to our beautiful, glittering lives." End of quote. The priest and the Levite passed by the wounded man. Much is made of the possible reasons why they did so. Some people even say that they were just following the laws of their religion and culture, but that misses the point. They failed to show common human decency to someone in need. There is no excuse for that. That they were Jews and that the wounded man was also a Jew just makes their nonfeasance worse. Luther sees in the priest and the Levite the failure of good works to save anyone. Like the lawyer, the priest, and the Levite would have been considered pious, respectable men, but they didn't do anything for the man who was robbed, beaten, and left for dead. We would expect, and God would expect, more from them. Then comes the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is Jesus Christ as Luther sees it. Just as the wounded man was a Jew and his rescuer was a Samaritan, so is Christ different from us. He alone is God and man. He alone is our Savior. Not only that, but just as the Jews hated the Samaritans, humanity hates Christ. Now, you may protest, "I don't hate Christ, I love him." But really, each week we confess to God, we have not loved you with our whole heart. What many people love is not the real Christ, but a Christ of their imagination. This is a Christ who never challenges or corrects them, who tells them how good they are, who loves who they love and hates who they hate. The true Christ challenges us, tells us that we are sinners, and then offers us forgiveness, which he gives to us on the cross. But you know how people don't like to be told that they're sinners and how they don't like to be indebted to anyone, even Jesus. Jesus fulfilled God's law that the priest and the Levite and the lawyer could not. He loves God the Father. He loves all mankind. Jesus even loves those who hate him. And you know that is not easy. Jesus comes into our lives uninvited. I suppose the wounded man could have refused the Good Samaritan's help, but he would have been a fool to do so. The Good Samaritan gave the man unconditional, extravagant love. He tended his wounds with oil and wine and sent him to an inn for recuperation, promising to pay a medical bill with no set cap. Who would do something like that? I don't know any insurance company that would. Luther saw special meaning in the oil, the wine, and the inn. The wine is a disinfectant, and it stings, it burns. The wine symbolized for Luther Jesus' bitter death on the cross and the blood that he shed for us. You have to have both the bitter and the sweet. First, the agony of the cross, and then the joy of salvation. Jesus did not think it was too great a thing to lay down his life for you. The sweet oil smooths and softens like the preaching of the gospel. The gospel tells us that our sins are forgiven, and that feels great. And the inn? The inn is this world, where we wait until Christ comes again and we are delivered into his kingdom, healthy, whole, and forgiven by his power. The parable ends with Jesus asking the lawyer, who was the true neighbor? The lawyer answered, the one who had mercy on him. It's clear that our neighbor is not only the person who lives next door. Our neighbors are not only the people who look like us, who think like us, and who act like us. Our neighbor is anyone in need. When Jesus says, go and do likewise, he's not just saying, be nice, be helpful. Anybody can be nice and helpful. There's no big trick in that. You don't have to be a Christian to be nice. Jesus is saying, be like him. He calls us to be like Christ. Now that's a challenge. We are called by Christ to be like the Good Samaritan, to be like Christ himself. And that means to love unconditionally, to love the unlovable, and to have mercy on those who hate us. Just don't talk the talk, Jesus says. Walk the walk. Show your love with your actions, with your service, with your generosity, with sacrifice, with taking risks. It's easy to say, I love others. It's much harder to show it. But that is where the proof of our love lies, in what we are willing to risk and suffer for others. Jesus suffered and died for us. May we live and work for him. Amen.